Come on, anybody inspired to pray a little bit? Man, just love it, just love it. And that is the desire, right, for there to be a movement of prayer across our Pine Lake family, that what we're doing is not having church today. What we're doing is we're really learning to be the people God's called us to be. And just like Eli and his friends are learning to pray and growing in prayer and multiplying that, calling other people alongside, man, I hope and pray God stirs that fire right in your heart today. Whatever room you're in, whether you're at one of our campuses or joining us online right now, God wants to use you, your voice right now, to bring heaven down to earth. And so we're learning how to pray in this season of prayer. Today's the last of our teachings on prayer for a little bit. And so we're going to talk today about praying with a bold confidence. And part of the way you pray with a bold confidence whenever you pray is actually to use the name of Jesus. How many of y'all have ever name dropped before? Anybody here ever name dropped? Anybody ever done that? We probably all have. We don't like to admit it, but we probably done that. You drop a name of somebody famous or important that maybe you're somehow connected to or know, and that's supposed to somehow make you be important or more important or significant. You might just be, you know, casually talking to some of your friends and say, yeah, I was talking to Justin Bieber the other day, and you know, you just drop that name in there. You know, Eli and Peyton were out to eat one night, and you know, you just kind of float that in there. If Elon Musk doesn't quit blowing up my phone, I swear I'm gonna go crazy. Y'all know what I'm saying? You're just kind of casually dropping that name. Well, sometimes I think whenever we pray, we drop the name of Jesus into our prayer. Most of the times we pray and we end our prayer this way. I don't know you, maybe, but I guarantee you most of us end our prayer this way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we pray everything that's on our mind, everything you want, anything you can think of, and then you kind of name drop in the end, hoping that you'll get what you want. I agree with John Eldridge, who wrote a book called Moving Mountains, who said that these days, in Jesus' name, amen, has about the same emotional force as talk to you later at the end of a conversation. We just kind of throw it in there as a way to kind of wrap things up. But please hear me, to pray in Jesus' name is not praying with empty words and just saying that at the end. And to pray in his name is not a magic formula or a magic wand to wave over every selfish request and desire that you have. You can't pray selfish prayers and abracadabra, in Jesus' name, the miracle rabbit pops out of God's heavenly hat. That's not the way it is. You can't say, Lord, I want a new truck and a better job and a bigger house and a beautiful girl, in Jesus' name, amen. Right? Y'all ever think about that? We do that. People do that all the time. We're praying from a selfish place, but we drop the name of Jesus in as if that's going to sanctify the prayer request, or maybe it's a way to kind of wrap things up. Now, here's what may surprise you. Jesus actually invites you to do more than drop his name. He actually invites you to claim his name every time you pray. He doesn't want you to just drop it. He wants you to claim that name. He wants you to pray in his name and have a sense of confidence and boldness that what you're praying in his name is going to come to pass. Now, we're going to look at John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14 today. It's going to kind of be our base text that we're kind of teaching out of. But here's what it says. Whatever you ask in my name, whatever. It's an all-inclusive promise. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Why? So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He repeats it. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Jesus repeats that promise, that if you ask anything in my name, he repeats that promise six different times in his last conversation with his disciples. He says, ask for anything in my name. Now, please hear again. It's not that Jesus' name is a magic formula. It's just a name drop. You're going to drop in at the end of your prayer and say, okay, God, what's the deal? Why haven't you answered my prayer? Here's the deal. Here's the deal. The name of Jesus has to be most important in your life over all other things. All right? Before we go any further, your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with that name has to have priority. As you read through the Gospels, you see that the name of Jesus is supposed to have supremacy in your heart and life. Come on, y'all with me? Is that true or not?
Jesus is not an add-on. Jesus is becoming your life. That's what we've been studying for the last few weeks. If you get to the end of P28 and you didn't get what you asked for, but God got your heart, it's a win. The goal is for you to say, I am connected to you, God. I'm connected to you, Jesus. I want what you want in my life and in this world more than anything else. Everything depends on him. You can't ask in his name yet live your life in and for your name. Right, can I say that again? You can't ask in his name yet live my life in and for my own name. Andrew Murray, in his book, With Christ in the School of Prayer, says this: the power that the name of Jesus has in your own life is the power it will have in your prayers. When it is everything to you, it will obtain everything for you. If you let it have all you have, it will let you have all it has. That's some powerful stuff. Whenever Jesus becomes everything to you, he says, then I will give you everything that I have. So please hear, to pray in Jesus' name, amen. That's not, you know, that's not the way we wrap up our prayers. It's not name drop. It's not just, you know, throw that in there saying, okay, God, you're obligated. No, to pray in Jesus' name, we're going to learn, means that I have my whole life wrapped up in, vested in, connected to Jesus. That's what I desire. And so here's what the name then begins to give us. And so we're going to look at three things the name of Jesus gives you in prayer. The first two we're going to cover quickly. The third one's where I want to kind of settle down a little bit today, okay? Here's what the name of Jesus gives you when you're praying in Jesus' name. All right, first of all, it gives you access in prayer. The name of Jesus gives you access in prayer. Usually we close our prayers in Jesus' name, amen. But what Jesus wants you to do is start your prayers that way. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I come in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask everything I'm asking today in the name of Jesus. That's what you're coming to. Jesus is the gateway to God. There's no other way to get to him, right? Isn't that what John 14 says? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody's coming to the Father but through me. Now, the scripture tells us that you can come to Jesus, come to God through Christ. I was talking to a lady last night, a friend of mine, who is really burdened in her P28 for a family member, and she's praying and really desiring breakthrough. Come on, how many of y'all know that, man, you can pray about stuff, but when you're praying about one of your kids who's hurting, man, prayer goes to another level. And she said the thing that she's battling in her mind is that somehow God's not going to hear her if she didn't do this right and do that right, and she lost her temper over here and she lost faith over there. Anybody ever feel that way? Because I know I do. She's not the only one. We feel that way. We feel like somehow God hearing my prayer is going to be based on me. And I just reminded her of a promise in Hebrews 4:15. It says, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows what it is for you to be frail and weak. And yet he says, I've overcome for you. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here's what I want you to hear. The name of Jesus gives you access to God the Father. God's not waiting on you to get your stuff together so that you can rightfully now have the authority to come to him. That is not it. You're coming based on the finished work of Jesus to receive mercy and grace, neither of which are deserved. To get mercy and grace to help in time of need. It's his work. It's his access that lets you have access. A couple of weeks ago on a Sunday afternoon, I got a text message from Jonathan Falwell, who is pastor of Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. He also is over the chapel services, the convocation at Liberty University, where my son is a student right now. And he said, hey, listen, we had to cancel a speaker for Wednesday. Is there any chance you could come and speak at convocation on Wednesday? Now, that was one of those things where if it's a chance for me to go see my son, the answer's probably going to be a yes. And so moved some things around, and I decided that I would go. And so I got there. Well, I called my son, told him I was going to be there, and he said, hey, is there any chance I could come kind of back in the hospitality room with you? And I said, I think so. So I texted the person who was my contact, and I said, hey, I need to put my son's name on the hospitality room list so that he can come back there with me. And the person said, no problem. Then Reagan hits me with another text. Hey, can my roommate Sam come too? All right, there's a part of me which I'm thinking we're going to have the whole, you know, dorm going to be up in there before long. But I said, let me see what I can do. And so I texted back my contact, and I said, hey, listen, my son wants to bring his roommate, Sam. Will you put Sam's name on the list too? And the answer came back immediately, absolutely. Anybody you want can come back there. And so we get there that day. I'm there, back there. And in a minute, here comes Reagan. Here comes Sam. They're walking into the hospitality room. They can eat the food for free. They're shaking hands with President, with Mr. Falwell, right? With Pastor Falwell. They're shaking his hand. They're seeing the band. They're backstage. They get preferential seating. Why? Not because of anything they did. They just happened to know somebody who had access. All right, so here's what I'm saying to you. In the same way, Jesus has put your name on his list, right? Come on, y'all read the book of Revelation, the Lamb's Book of Life, right? If you're on the list, if you're in the book, you have access to come to the Father and get everything you need, not because you're all that, but because of what Jesus has already done. Come on, does that make any sense to you at all? So here's what I'm trying to get you to do, is whenever you come to pray, don't pray, man, God will never hear me. I'm such a loser. I'm such an idiot. I just did this. I just did that. No, you come in Jesus' name, God, I'm coming. I'm not coming because I'm worthy. I'm coming because he's worthy. And I come today to receive some mercy and some grace for help. You with me? The name of Jesus, praying in his name, gives you access in prayer. Here's the second thing the name does. It gives you an aim in prayer. It gives you access, but it also gives you your aim. It means you're praying for what Jesus would want. Look at John 14, 13 and 14 again. It says, whatever you ask my Father in asking my name, that I will do. Here's why. Like, don't miss this. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Why is Jesus going to give you? Why is the Father going to give you what you're asking for? It's not so that you can be glorified, not so that you can be happy, or even that you can have comfort and no problems in life. The goal is the glory of the Father. Do you see that? All right, again, this is what we've been learning over the last few weeks, that the best prayers start in heaven, that yes, I have a way of seeing things, but so does God, and I'm learning to trust in his, not only his love and his power, but his wisdom, and we want him to be glorified most. And so whenever we're learning to pray in Jesus' name, what we're saying is, Jesus, I want what you want. So to pray in Jesus' name is both a guarantee, you're going to get it, but it's also a limiting factor. He only grants those requests that are consistent with his character and purpose. So please, again, hear me. This is why we thought prayer didn't work. Prayer doesn't work when you're using God selfishly name-dropping Jesus at the end. It'll never work for you. Prayer's not about you getting what you want, your whims and your wishes fulfilled in Jesus' name. No, that's not it. Prayer is about surrendering to, trusting the love of the Father, the power of the Father, the wisdom of the Father, and now saying, God, I want what you want. And whenever you want what God wants, God says, you ask me for anything with boldness and confidence. Again, Andrew Murray says, anyone grasping the promise only when he wants something very special for himself is going to be disappointed, because he is making Jesus the servant of his own comfort. But whoever wants to pray the effective prayer of faith because he needs it for the work of the master, he's going to learn it because he's made himself the servant of the Lord's interest. He's saying, whenever you begin to pray, God, I need this to advance your kingdom. God, I think this is what you want. So in Jesus' name, God, let it be so. Y'all with me? That's when the name of Jesus has power and effect. Prayer's less you offering up to God your list. It's this conversation in which God's shaping and molding your heart and your request for his glory and your good. And so my life is tied to him. My life is about the name of Jesus. My purpose at school, at work, at home is about the glory of Jesus. And so in doing that, in living that life, anything I need in Jesus' name, I can ask for with confidence that he not only welcomes me in, but he says I can meet you there. All right, y'all with me? Several years ago, we did our first ever missionary care retreat, and there were only three couples from Pine Lake that were on the mission field at that time that we gathered together, and One of the couples that came, Kevin and Christy Delbin, were serving in Ethiopia at the time. And there, whenever they shared their heart of what was going on, I was absolutely blown away. I really, quite honestly, and I've told them this, so this would not be a surprise to the Delbins if y'all are listening and worshiping with us today. But I really anticipated them to say, you know what, man, we're just so worn out. We're in this foreign country. We don't really know the language that well. Man, it's just, this is just really hard, and I'm ready to come home. But that is not what they said. They said, we have begin to ask the Lord to do whatever he wants to do, to give us his eyes to see who it is he wants to work in, to give us his heart to be able to know what he wants done, to give us his words to speak. And they said, we're seeing God do miracles. We see people who have cancer, and God stirs within us that he wants to do a miracle to validate the message of Jesus that we're preaching. And we're watching God not only do miracles of healing, of provision. The people have given us favor. And when the bad guys come around, they tell us, they come to us and say, hey, it'd be a good day for you to stay home today, so that they don't get out, get caught up in anything and have trouble. It's like God is meeting them in Jesus' name. Why? Because they're not making much of their name. They're making much of the name of Jesus. And he says, I can meet you there. You with me? In the same way, whenever you are living your life on purpose and on mission for Jesus, you can ask him for anything and he can meet you. He gives us that aim for what you're asking. Okay? He gives you that aim. Now, here's the third thing. This is where we're going to camp out for a few minutes. He gives you access. He gives you an aim, but he gives you authority. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you are praying with authority. Power is different from authority. Power is strength. Authority is your right to use the strength. Authority is your right to do something or to ask God with an expectation. Now think about authority. We see it all over the place, but authority is when you enter that school zone and the crossing guard steps out into the street and puts up his or her hand with that yellow vest on and that little stop sign, that crossing guard has the authority to stop you. Don't have the power to stop you, has the authority to stop you. Am I right? Okay. How many of y'all have been walking out of Walmart or Costco and somebody with a vest on stops you? And they stop you to look at your receipt. Now, you may be a multimillionaire and this person may be making minimum wage, but you're about to stop to make sure you ain't stealing that Ozarka water that's not in the bag, right? They're going to make sure that what you have in the basket is what's on the receipt. They have the authority to do that. Doesn't matter if you're a president of a bank or own your own company. They give a rip about that. You're about to stop. Why? Because they have been invested with authority to stop you. If you're in the military, there is a chain of command. And you may not like the order somebody just gave you, but I got a feeling you're probably going to get over it. I've never been in the military, so I don't know. I quit Cub Scouts after the first day. But people in the military tell me, you pretty much got to do what they tell you to do. At work, you probably have an organizational chart that shows who has vested authority to make decisions and calls and tells you what to do. And so for work to work smoothly, we got to honor that organizational chart. At home, there's probably some order at your house. I don't know who's in charge. I don't know who has the say-so. Maybe it's daddy, maybe it's mama. Sometimes it's the kids, and at my house, it's the dog. I don't know who it is at your house, but somebody has the say-so, right? There's somebody who has vested authority to make a decision. Now, in the spirit realm, here's what I want to ask you. In the spirit realm, who has say-so? Right, this is where I need you to lean in. Because most of us are practical atheists when it comes to authority in the spiritual realm. You would quickly say, oh, God does. But I'm talking about in your life and in the spirit realm overall, you're about to learn something, I think. Who has say-so? Who has authority to speak? And those underneath the organizational chart have to start acting. Well, I want to take you on a little bit of a journey through the scripture, so bear with me. Okay, you with me? But I really, if you're going to learn to pray, I really think this is imperative for you to get. When God created Adam and Eve, he placed them on the earth as his representatives, and he gave them a command to be fruitful, fill the earth. Be fruitful, fill the earth. Rule over it and subdue it. They're in charge. They're in authority. Why? Because God said. And as long as they're under God's authority, they are in authority, and they were to rule over with dominion over the earth. The psalmist captures it this way in Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what's man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? In other words, when you think about the vastness of the world and you think about your little bitty life, you're like, man, I'm so insignificant, it seems. Yet, you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him, look at it, you make him rule over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. I don't want you to miss this, that when God created us, his design, his plan was for you and me to affect his kingdom rule through our lives. Are you with me? We're under God, but he wanted mankind to affect his kingdom rule, to fill the earth with the kingdom and glory of God. Right, that's amazing. That's amazing. But what you know is that in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve did the dumbest thing ever, and they chose to get out from under God's authority. And when they got out from under God's authority, they had no authority. As a matter of fact, they lost the authority that they used to have, okay? That when they gave in to the enemy, when they believed his lie and ate the forbidden fruit, this is what I want you to understand. They lost their right to rule, and Satan stole it. He's a thief. And now he has authority. Jesus calls him in John 14, 30, the ruler of the world, okay? Now he's an illegitimate ruler in that he stole it, but he's got the authority now. Having stolen it, he's got the authority to rule on the earth. When Jesus was tempted, one of the temptations was for Jesus to bow down to the devil, and the devil said, I will give you all these kingdoms and their dominion. Please hear what he's saying. He said, I'm not giving you power, I'm giving you authority. Y'all with me? Come on, somebody get with me for a second. Y'all with me? He's saying to him, I will give you the authority to rule the earth, and he could do it because he had it. Even though he had stolen it from Adam and Eve, he had that authority to rule over the earth. Jesus, thank God, said, no, I'm not going to bow down and get your authority. I'm going to stay under the authority of God the Father, and I'm going to take your authority. Oh, yes. Come on, y'all ought to get excited about this part. That he says, I will take your authority. And through his life of sinless perfection and obedience to Jesus, through his sacrificial death according to the plan of God the Father for the payment of our sins. But listen, what the enemy didn't get was, it was the breaking of the curse. Through his resurrection from the dead, Jesus took back what Adam and Eve had lost. He destroyed the work of the devil. Now stay with me. Authority was regained in that moment. It was given, it was lost, it was regained. The Bible says in Colossians 2, verse 13, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Jesus said, through Jesus, God was forgiving your sin and all the right the enemy had to have authority over you because of all your stupid, sinful stuff. Jesus took it, nailed it to the cross, and said, paid for. And he took away the enemy's authority to rule over any believer. Now keep reading. He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, and he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Jesus took all the authority that the enemy has to rule over the lives of believers. He's still working in the world. And those who don't have Christ, you're still under his authority and dominion. That's why you need Jesus. That's why you have to have Jesus. And even as a believer, if you choose to get outside of God, you put yourself right back under an authority that has no business ruling your life. Jesus now has all authority. Remember what Matthew 28:18 says? Jesus came up and spoke to the disciples after the resurrection, and he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven, in the spirit realm, and on earth, in the earth realm. Go, therefore. Jesus is now reinstituting what God wanted for Adam and Eve, for the kingdom and the glory of God to be dispersed throughout the planet through mankind. Jesus is now reinstituting that. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Please don't miss it. He makes a bold declaration. I got all authority, Hoss. Ain't nobody, nobody has authority over Jesus. In spirit realm, in earth realm, it's all his. And then he gives you, listen, authority is re-given to you now, child of God. When you're praying, you should be praying from a position of ambassadorship, of sonship, of partnership with Jesus. That your goal is to make disciples everywhere, and you have a promise that wherever you go, he's with you. And guess what comes with you, with him? His authority. Now, the reality is we're still in a fight. Still a real enemy who doesn't want you to live in this authority. As a matter of fact, he's trying to take you out and everybody that you love. And this is where I pray right now that this stops being church in this moment and it becomes life. This is what your life is really about right now. God's not an add-on to try to help you do better tomorrow while you live your life and do your deal. Jesus has invited you into a spirit realm where it's everything to you. The name of Jesus is everything to me now. Y'all with me? Now the enemy's trying to fight against that. He's gonna resist you being all in with Jesus. He actually tries to trick you into thinking that you don't have what God says you have. He wants you to believe that he still has sway over you or authority over you. And so he wants to trick you and lie to you. It's a real battle. It's a real battle. Ephesians 6:12 says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the powers and the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Your problem's not your husband. Your problem's not the drug dealer that keeps selling your kid to drugs. Your problem's not a boss that's unreasonable or weakness that you, that's not it. You got a real enemy who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy everything about you and everybody that you love. But please hear what we're learning in this moment. The devil is a liar, and he's a defeated foe. That's what I want you to hear. That you can stand firm in Jesus Christ and put on the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. And you can resist the enemy right there. You can stand firm, and you don't have to do what the enemy says do. You can stop his advance against you, because in the name of Jesus, you got three things. You got the power of Jesus. You have the power of Jesus. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I say to you, you're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Y'all remember this? When Jesus is asking the disciples, who do people say that I am? And they're telling him what everybody in the world says. And he says, but what do you say? And Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of God. And then he drops that word on him. That's right. On that, whenever you believe that I'm the Christ, when you build your life on me, I'm going to build my church. And this is what I want you to see. The gates of hell will not prevail. Can't overpower it. Now, come on, kids. This is what you need to learn. A lot of us think that somehow the devil's coming at us and we're supposed to resist. But that is not what that says. Gates are for defense. You're actually supposed to be taking the fight to the devil. Adam and Eve are supposed to be multiplying the glory of God throughout the earth. Jesus said, go make disciples. Please hear me. Track with me for a second. We've been living so under our resources that God's calling you today to a bold confidence in the name of Jesus to begin to take it to your enemy. Why? Because you got the power of Jesus behind you, and he's put you in authority. And you have the position of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved." That's awesome. But look at what he did. "And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That is your position now. Now, I'm asking you to lean with me and go a little deeper with me today. I get that you live on earth. I get that you have a body of flesh and blood. But in spiritual terms, in spiritual realm, the way God sees you and the way the rest of the world, spirit realm, must recognize you is for your position in Jesus. And where does Jesus say you are now? You're already seated in the heavenlies in Christ. Y'all with me? Anybody tracking with me? That's why whenever we have the authority drawing in the Jesus-centered life and we're praying, "God, I stand in my authority," this is what we're saying, that you are now in God, in Christ, and in the organizational chart, you have authority to say, "Satan, get away from me." In Jesus' name, not in your name. If you operate in your name, he'll slap you neck and hide your clothes. All right, that's in the book of Acts. Just go read it. Not in your name. You don't want to fool with him in your name. You ain't got that power. But in Jesus' name, you have the authority to resist. Come on, college kids. You have the authority to say no to the peer pressure. You have the authority to say no to the weaknesses that you have. You have the authority to stand in the fullness of who Jesus has made you to be and not try to be somebody else's version of you. Y'all with me? You have the position of Jesus. You have spiritual say-so in Jesus on earth. Not in your own name, not in your own power, but in Jesus, you have some say-so. Who has all authority? Jesus. Where are you at? You in Jesus. So you got some say-so. All right? You may feel about as significant as that person at Walmart saying, "Hey, I need to check that receipt." You may feel about as significant as the lowest, you know, private ensign in the military, or whatever. But Jesus is saying to you, you do have some swag. You do have some authority in the spirit realm. You have the power of Jesus, the position of Jesus, and you have the promise of Jesus. Look at it again. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14 this time. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father." And I'm going to stop right there and say that is probably one of the most shocking verses in the New Testament. Look at it. Jesus says, "Hey, for sure, bank on it. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you believe in me, the things I do, you'll do also, and greater works than these." Why? Because I'm going to the Father. What's up with this? Does that mean you're going to do bigger miracles than Jesus? I don't think that's what he's saying. Here's what I think he's saying. I think he's saying that whenever we believe in him, when his spirit dwells within us, when we're in him, we're going to get to do the same things that Jesus did while he was on the earth. Any miracle that he did, I believe Jesus says, you're going to be able to do it too. Just read the book of Acts. It happened. Talk to people on mission with Jesus. Power is released. It happens. But here's how it's greater. When Jesus was on the earth as a man, he's limited by space and time of his body. He could only be in one place at one time. But now that he's in heaven, he pours out his spirit. And guess what, Pine Lake? All of us, regardless of age, when you're in Christ, you now are an agent for the kingdom of heaven to see the power of Jesus released. So greater things could be happening across Mississippi and the world. You with me? In your life. Because he goes to the Father, and now you can ask anything in his name. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Do you feel it now, what Jesus is saying to you? You can ask him for anything. When your heart is to see his kingdom spread, that's what he made us for. And we lost it, and he came and got it back for us, and he gives it to you again. Come on, you're not just a man going to work. You're not just a husband or a dad. You are a kingdom warrior. You're to be a kingdom bringer, fellas. That's it. And what you saw those boys doing in the prayer room, come on, that should be the call of every one of us. God calls you up and out. Wherever you go, to now, in the name of Jesus, pray and be a kingdom bringer. Okay? Now let's close this way. Here's what that means for you. It means that you can pray in Jesus' name anytime you need kingdom blessings. Come on, this is where your prayer life gets practical. When you need the blessings of the kingdom, you can pray in Jesus' name and receive what God has for you because you have a loving union with Jesus. The Bible says you are his brother, sister. You are now a child of God, and you have the family name. And when you're in the family, you get the perks of the family. Okay? Now, my daughter Mackenzie, when she was in college at State, shout out Kenzie. Now, when she was in college at Mississippi State, this time last year, we got a lot of folks coming to our Starkville campus. Shout out Starkville. All right. So much so, church family, that we actually are having to turn people away on Sundays and say, you can't come to church. We don't have any more seats in this room. That's a problem, and we're praying about that. But one day, my daughter, Mackenzie, drives up a little late, and she wants to go, and it's one of those Sundays where we're full, and the parking lot attendant, not knowing who she is, says, I'm sorry, you can't come today because we're full. And so Mackenzie, in her sweet self, says, okay. Now, all I can say is, he's lucky it wasn't my daughter, Rachel. Because Rachel would have looked at him and said, do you know who I am? You better recognize, right? Rachel probably would have said, I appreciate that, but I think I'll go on it. But Mackenzie's like, okay. Could she have used my name and gotten in, y'all think? Yes. I got a feeling she probably could have had she wanted to. I got my first job ever in high school at 15 years of age, washing cars for Roy Sessler Chevrolet. And I did not get that job because I was an excellent car washer. I did not get that job because I was highly skilled. I got that job for one reason and one reason only, because my daddy was Roy Sessler's pastor. And it was that name that got me that job. Y'all with me? You tracking with me? Whenever you need something from God the Father, you are his child, and you get everything that that name gives to you. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So here's what it means. In Jesus' name, God, in Jesus' name, I claim my forgiveness right now. In Jesus' name, I need some hope in this situation. God, in Jesus' name, would you give me wisdom to know what to do in this? In Jesus' name, God, I pray, would you give me faith right now? I need you to give me what heaven offers. God, I need strength. Jesus, in your name, I claim strength to stand. You with me?
Yes.
If those decisions, if that strength, if that wisdom is to honor God, you can claim in Jesus' name every blessing with confidence that you'll receive it. Whenever you use the name of Jesus, you can pray with confidence and authority when you need kingdom advance, not just blessings, but advance. The gates of hell are not going to stop what God's doing. And when you bump up against something where you need God to move so that the kingdom of God can advance, you can in Jesus' name say, in Jesus' name, Father, I'm claiming, I'm coming in Jesus' name, but I'm praying in Jesus' name. This is what he would want. So in Jesus' name, Father, I'm asking you to move. You have in spirit realm, you have a legal connection to him. You're on mission for him. And he will do what you're asking for because we've seen it promised in the scripture multiple times today. I met a girl Tuesday night prayer. She's about 20 years old. I thought maybe she was in college. She told me she's actually like the number two person at the local Target. I'm like, oh my goodness. She's clearly brilliant, clearly gifted. But I'm thinking this little kid has the authority at Target to hire somebody, and Target corporate's gonna honor that. To fire somebody, Target corporate's gonna honor that. To sell something, Target corporate's gonna honor that. Why? She's been given authority to act in their name. Y'all with me? In the same way, you're now on mission for Jesus, and whatever you need on mission for Jesus, you can ask in the name of Jesus, and God says, I'll honor that. I'll honor that. Again, not your whims, not your wishes, but as you pray, Jesus, what would you do? And as you get revelation that this is what he's telling you to do, in Jesus' name, let it be done. In Jesus' name, God, I pray, would you bring conviction to my friend who is far from you? And Jesus, it'll never come unless you do it, but I know you don't want any to perish, but all to come to faith. So in Jesus' name, God, would you bring conviction? In Jesus' name, put people in their path that they would listen to hear your truth. In Jesus' name, I pray for people to be out of their life that are leading them astray or voices of negativity. I pray it in Christ's name. Y'all with me? That's your authority to pray. And you can pray in Jesus' name in the midst of kingdom battles. So when you need kingdom blessings, kingdom advance, or kingdom battles, our hearts are sickened right now for what's going on in Eastern Europe and Ukraine. No explanation for that. I don't understand outside of just pure evil and wickedness. But out of the horrors of war have come a couple of examples that are just inspirational. And again, I don't know the politics of all of it, but when the Ukrainian President Zelensky reportedly, with the Russians knocking at his door, quite literally about to invade his capital, and he's offered a way out, and he says, reportedly, the fight is here. I don't need a ride. I need ammunition. I think every man warrior on the planet rises up and goes, yeah. Is it just me? There's something inspirational about a guy who says, I don't want to run from the fight. Man, what I got's worth defending, and I will defend it to my death. It's inspirational to see that the Ukrainian people, the government said, look, if you'll fight for us, we'll give you all the weaponry you need. Just come get it. And this girl's out there with camouflage shirt, jackets on, and pink pants. I'm like, girl, you don't understand what this is about. But she's there, why? To defend. She may not be skilled, but she knows she wants to defend. She wants to stand up and protect what is hers. Here's what I want to say to you. You're in a war. No, I'm in college. You're in a war. You are freaking in a war right now. And the enemy is trying to take you out, and the battle is ongoing. Jesus has won, no doubt. He's an authority, but he is taking the territory, bringing the kingdom life by life, battle by battle, enforcing his rule and his reign through you. He's given you the authority to now stand up and fight. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 10:19, behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. You read that and you think, oh my gosh, I don't want to see a scorpion. Stop thinking earthly terms. Scorpions and serpents, those are spiritual metaphors through the Old Testament to represent demons and demonic powers. And he says, I'm giving you authority to tread on all spiritual forces of darkness in my name, and nothing will impact you or injure you. Quit living scared. Yes. And start fighting confidently and boldly. You walk into your house today and you claim the name of Jesus. You walk into a hotel room. I hear people doing this. Walk in there and say, I don't know what's happened here before, but in the name of Jesus, I cleanse this room by the blood of Christ. Let peace be in this room today. You can do that over every room in your house. You can say over your son, your daughter, your mama, your daddy, your marriage, in Jesus' name, I come against every spiritual force of darkness trying to tear us apart. And in Jesus' name, I call the angels of heaven to wage war for us and for me. God, protect us. That's your authority. That is your confidence. The Bible does tell you to put on the armor of Christ, but it also says you take up the sword of the Spirit that is the word of the Lord, and you take up all prayer. And so God is calling you today to be a kingdom warrior, to start dropping his name. Not over your wish list, not as a way to kind of wrap things up, talk to you later, but as a way of entering in with confident access, and as the aim of your life, and with bold authority, you pray in his name, and you advance kingdom blessing, and you advance kingdom cause, and you advance kingdom battle in his name. Come on, y'all, this ain't church. This is who we are. And so I want us to close just by spending a couple of moments praying in Jesus' name. Would you do that with me right where you are right now? Just across the room? Come on, would you just receive the authority that you have in Jesus' name? Maybe you've never accepted Jesus. Accept him now. Put your trust in him. Turn from your sin. Say, Jesus, I need you to come into my life and make me alive. I don't want to live under Satan's authority anymore. Jesus, I come to you. I give you my life. Come on, church, but you're in Christ now. And the organizational chart says your life is hidden with God in Jesus, and the enemy can't get to you. As a matter of fact, he wants you to begin to pray bold, confident prayers. Would you pray it right now? Would you just come with access in the name of Jesus? Start your prayer. In Jesus' name I come. Not how good or bad you are, it's what Jesus has done. In Jesus' name I come. Would you just say, God, let the aim of my prayers be your kingdom and your glory. God, show me what to pray. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, give me revelation to know what to pray and how to pray. And right now, and from now on, as the Spirit gives you a revelation of maybe what to pray, wasn't what you thought you were going to be praying, but as he gives revelation, the best prayer start in heaven, surrender to his will, in Jesus' name, let it be done. Come on, say it. In Jesus' name, God, let it be done. In Jesus' name, change the desires of my heart. In Jesus' name, God, I give you my future. In Jesus' name, I stand against the schemes of the enemy, against my mind and my body and my future. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to give me love. Grow love in my heart. Give forgiveness in my heart. Jesus, I don't have it, but in Jesus' name, I'm asking you for that today. Give me forgiveness. Free me from bitterness in Jesus' name. Every spirit of envy, every spirit of jealousy, every spirit of greed, in the name of Jesus, I tell you, leave me. In Jesus' name, not in my name, in Jesus' name, you have no authority over me anymore. Come on, this is the way we fight our battles. Just a second, I'm going to close my part of the prayer time, but I encourage you to keep on praying. We're going to stand up and sing song of worship to Jesus. I'm going to have some friends at the front of the room who would love to talk with you, pray with you. Man, look, if two agree on anything is touching, you can have it. Come let somebody pray with you over whatever's going on with you. If you want to walk right on past them and just kneel at the front and just in a posture of humility, acknowledging that you need him, you can pray about anything. Would you do it? Come on, let's turn this house into a house of prayer. Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for our authority. God, thank you that you let us pray. Thank you that you have saved us. Thank you that you are calling us to be a part of bringing your kingdom. And so, Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done right here on earth, even as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's stand. Let's worship. Let's call on heaven to invade earth.